Welcome to episode 66 of the Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, horse, and whatever else is on our minds.
Welcome to the Iron Agenda, the podcast that has two less souls for its ancestral guardian. I'm Tim.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Z.
So, we're two souls short today. Josh has decided to miss out today for some family holiday get-together or some such, and Jason decided to go to a tournament today all the way in Kansas City, so he's either in transit or just arriving now. Yep, hopefully he brings back some cool swag for us. We'll find out.
Yeah, that's the tournament run by our good friend Explosivo from the Kansas City area. And he's
Explosivo!
Explosivo! Yeah. I don't want to blow out our listeners' ears, but he's running a $9.99 tournament and barbecue, I believe,
yes,
today. And it's good times. But it's a Sunday and hard for me to get to, so I'm here and you're stuck listening to me.
And me as well.
Yes.
Wow. If I was closer, I would have gone.
My problem is I don't have any vacation right now with the new job. So, getting up really early, driving 4 hours or close to it, and then playing for a good, 6 or 7 hours and then driving back another 4 doesn't make for a very productive Monday at work.
Driving 4 hours is so hard, isn't it?
Well, I probably wouldn't have drove, probably would have tagged along with somebody, but still, that's a pretty draining day.
Well, my problem is I would have rode with somebody and I probably would have slept up and back, which means I would have had permanent marker on my face by the time I went into work on Monday.
It would have said penis.
Of course.
It would have drawn one on there.
It would have been a pictogram.
It might have said Sorsha, or like a phone number just to make your wife angry.
That'd be hilarious.
Call me, sweetie. Phone number.
Oh, man. So how you doing, Z?
I'm doing good. Just been slogging through the field test.
Yep.
Working out those kinks in the scorn.
Yeah. They have some issues, but, I think they're also coming along at the same time.
Yep, it's nice and slow, but we're getting there.
Well, since it's just you two and me on today, I've kind of decided, and I made this executive decision just because I can, that I'm going to let you guys fight it out. I'm going to arbitrate and then declare a winner.
Ooh, what does the winner get?
My love and affection.
I want.
How about
lose.
This? The winner becomes the intern on the show.
I don't know if that's really winning for me or not.
But before we get into that, we did get a voicemail we want to go ahead and play. So I'm going to play that now. All right. Well, thank you, Chad, for calling in and stroking our egos because we needed so much more of that.
I don't think I can fit through the door now.
Well, that and your ego is big, too.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, now that's just harsh.
I was going to say, Adkins isn't working for you, Tim?
No.
But,
so you're going to keep a running tally of points, or what?
Yeah.
Z1, Tim 0.
Z wins the first valley, Tim. You better catch up.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
In regards to our responses to Chad's voicemail, I think what we're going to be doing is probably when Mark II actually comes out, we're going to start over kind of in depth a little bit on some of the factions, and we're going to try and do some of the basics a lot, then hit them pretty hard. We're actually going to be talking about the Legion coming up, and hopefully through that discussion, at least as a playtest, I'm assuming you're playing Mark II at the moment, we'll be able to give a little bit more advice. The Legion's going to be a little bit trickier in Mark II, and I mean for the Legion player, not for the opponent, because a lot of their cool stuff is missing. You can get it back with stacking a few abilities, but usually that's feats and once per turn stuff, so it's not nearly
as easy.
You've
got to work at it a little harder.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, War Machine Jacks are so much tougher now and more resilient than War Beasts. So it might be a bit of an uphill battle at first, especially for new players. If your opponents, your War Machine opponents, latch onto the game really quick, it's going to be tough for a new Hordes player to compete. But I think Hordes has a little bit more trickiness to it in some regards.
Yeah, I would say don't get discouraged because as much as it's going to be a learning experience for you, it's going to be a learning experience for them. They may have been able to read over like the new Mark II War Machine stuff, the downloads or whatever, mm-hmm. but that doesn't necessarily mean they've got, a good grasp on it. So I think you'll probably be able to surprise each other, Every game you play, you'll come up with something new.
And one thing that Josh and I did when we were learning the game, Brandon, we were both learning War Machine because Hordes wasn't out, but after you play with your friends a few times, and assuming everybody's cool with this, and these are people you're friendly with and comfortable with, switch armies with them and stuff. Say, hey, can I play your army and you play mine? Because one thing is, when you're playing your opponent's army and seeing your stuff across the table, you might look at it and realize, oh wow, if this model and this model hit me from this angle, then I would be in trouble. So that's kind of teaching you, oh, well, then you should maybe do that whenever you're playing the army. So I think that's a good way to learn some tricks as well.
And there's another thing that while you're starting off as a new player with a new group, you'll probably all be playing Mangled Metal games for the first few games.
Oh, yeah.
Which means that as a Hordes player, you will actually have a little bit of an advantage because you're going to be able to heal your beasts and you're going to be able to transfer damage from less threats, which means that you will have a little bit of an advantage in this format because Hordes is a little better in this format.
Well, the downside is, though, your beasts are a little bit more frail than the Warjacks.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree there stats-wise. However, when a Jack loses the system in Mangled Metal, there's no repair mechanic.
Oh, definitely.
Barring
big,
a couple
very big
situations.
Deal.
Right.
It's pretty limited,
which means
right?
that you can afford to take a few hits, and if your beast isn't dead, you're back to full efficiency again.
Right. So you've got to get the pounce. You've got to attack first. But.
Exactly. You make it stick, and you're probably going to win. And as a Legion player, you should probably get that first pounce.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of the things that they had in Mark 1 that I still think they have pretty... It's one of their, I think, still their defining characteristics in Mark 2, is that first strike capability. I think they still can pull it off pretty easily.
Absolutely.
But anyway, Chad, thanks for your voicemail, and hopefully... we'll be able to help you out and get revenge on your buddies.
Absolutely.
But
Legion players.
Yep, our first bit of content for today is going to be some news, because there is yet another update.
Woohoo!
And that's pretty important, because we're in the last week now of the field test, so, knowing what your stuff can do and then, reporting accurate and correct information is going to be huge.
Yeah, I can't. I should not start complaining about how bad Ryas is with Death Shadow because she doesn't have it anymore. Which brings me up to a point. We did get an email from someone who asked to see some specific Ryas stuff, and we are saving that for our Legion episode. I've already emailed him back, but we are building some stuff up. So if you have any other suggestions, feel free to tell us. But otherwise, since we're talking about Scorn today, just a quick start with that. How do you guys feel about how the Scorn made out in the update?
I think there were a lot of good positive changes.
Not enough, though?
I think it's really tweaking. I don't think it's like major changes needed at this point.
Well, in most cases, you're right. It's just a little bit of tweaking here and there. And maybe a couple of models or units, I think, that might need to see a little more overhaul than others. But
yeah
it's mostly just minor changes at this point. And I know the Scorn forums aren't going to be happy with hearing that. But.
No. Well, and you know what's funny is when I when I first read the initial release of the field test, a lot of the things that people are upset about, I kind of expected the change. Like, the Kree is a huge one. That's a huge upset that people are upset about.
Mm-hmm. Did you really expect the Kree to stay how it was?
Exactly. It was so good. I kind of expected it to change, at least in some, a little bit. Changed it more probably than I wanted to, but I still think it's, you can live with it the way it is.
I like it because I didn't really use it all that much in Mark 1. I wasn't one of those, crutch Scorn players, I guess. And I played very offensively, and so the Kree didn't really fit into my playstyle for that.
See, the Kree, I put a Kree in before I put in my Warlock. That was my first list decision every time in Mark 1.
I didn't even like the model, to be honest. This is why I didn't pick it over anything else.
It's funny is I actually like the Drake model more than the Kree model, and the really
exactly.
big difference is open eyes.
I love the Drake model. I just think the Kree model is, really poor looking, in my opinion.
Well, we're going to get into Scorn in a little bit more detail here. So let me ask this question. What do you guys think about the threshold boost that a lot of Jet Beasts got?
I think it was kind of needed. With all the changes initially, I think they kind of had to swing back a little bit to compensate.
Right.
I agree.
I mean, I think the changes make it so that you don't have to take Paingivers in every army list. You can afford to have a couple of Fury points floating out there. I mean, I love the Paingivers, don't get me wrong. I put those in before I put in my Warlock, but I've always done that, so.
Well, I'll talk
about the threshold.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about, the Legion and going off what you said, the Seraph is now a 4/4 Fury Beast who has strafe D3+1, so you're guaranteed at least 2 shots, which means you can take 2 fully boosted shots. With an 8 Fury Beast, or an 8 point Beast, that's expensive, but you can do that. He still has all the great utility he has. Make him a 9 point Beast, and that's a Shepherd to follow him around and wipe off all 4 Fury every turn.
Right.
There you go.
So, I mean, we don't have Paingivers, but we have tools in the Legion as well. I think that they allow us to do some cool stuff like that.
Well, between the past 2 updates, everybody got something now to help manage their Fury a little more efficiently.
But Legion got some more armor on a few models. The Tariff also picked up Pathfinder, which I think is still they're going the wrong way with them. We don't need more of these mixed forces beasts in the Legion. We need someone to have a role and stick with it.
You know, I think if they gave him like two more range, he'd be pretty solid.
I think if they took away Pathfinder and gave him like Rate of Fire 2 or something, even without Arcing Fire, he'd be great.
Yeah, the on a counterpoint to that, but the problem with a Rate of Fire 2 is then now you compete with their artillery piece in a way.
Exactly. Because,
you know, if you have a beast that's more efficient as an artillery piece, why would you take the artillery piece at all?
I don't care who you are. If you're not Cador, why would you take your artillery piece? Well, okay, if now you're not
Scorn has a decent artillery piece.
If you're not
piece.
Cador and you're not playing Italian.
Or the Thumper Cannon, come on.
And well, that's true.
There's a lot better artillery
I'm banking on that changing before it goes live.
I would not be surprised either way. I'll put it that way. I can see it changing. I can see it not changing. But let's forget those pesky troll bloods and talk about Scorn.
Yeah. Well, before we do that, I do want to mention something like the circle stuff and this model change.
God.
Oh, God. That's how much life does the Feral Warpwolf have now?
Same as the Bronzeback.
That's silly.
28?
28. Same
wow.
as the Bronzeback.
Wow. That's huge.
Something that Flanzer said, I'll give him credit for saying this on our forums, our local forums, is it? It's like he is pretty much the all-around best beast in Hordes between cost, damage output, life, and flexibility. He's stupid good, and he just
and
got
his
better.
His animus is hotter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one complaint I have about him, is I think his animus is a little too good for what it does. Because we already had issues about the Fury being, you know, the ability to make you frenzy and the issues with that. Well, then they tried to mitigate it, but then they still have this really kick-ass animus
and
floating around.
It's command range 7. That means every war beast within 7 inches can gain or lose Fury according to the Warpwolf's whim.
That's... And since he can boost for speed, combined with a charge, he's got a pretty good distance that he can move and get somebody in.
Yep.
Exactly. I mean, with regen and the rest of him, he is, don't get me wrong, one of the best war beasts in the game, hands down.
And how many points is he?
9.
And how many points is a bronze back?
10. Don't make me cry.
I'm making a point there. I mean, I think he went a little bit too far. He was awesome before the model update.
Yeah, I thought he was real solid before that. You know, 1 point is huge. You don't really think about it in that term sometimes, but when you look at it, you know, bronze back versus the Feral Warpwolf, there's 1 point difference, but it's like night and day on what they can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
or bronze back and Mulg.
Yeah, that's a good one too. It's like
that's probably a better comparison.
Yeah, that's a way better comparison.
Mulg.
They're both in the same rule.
Good God, Mulg's dumb too.
In the same realm, not rule. Sorry.
Mulg got a point of speed, a point of strength. Lost, are you going to eat that, and got overtake.
Yeah.
I'm snacking, but yeah. That doesn't combine with overtake.
Right. So, wow. He's even better now.
He's a little too good for 11, personally.
Yeah, I don't...
He could probably go up to 12 and be okay.
Or lose a point of speed, in my opinion. One of those two.
Yeah.
Typhon got hit, though, speaking of the uniques.
But he got a point of speed.
He got a point of speed, but lost reach, and got his 360 sight. And I think they got rid of reach to defeat the gunfighter shenanigans, which is he had reach, but he could only make a spray attack against someone within half an inch of him. Because
yeah,
that's how
really
gunfighters work.
Wonky.
So if you are basically 0.51 inches up to 2 inches, he could melee attack you, but he can't actually spray you. And I think they picked the wrong fix. They should have just given him something other than gunfighter.
Well, don't you think it's a better fix, though? In my opinion, I think giving him an extra point of speed overall is much better than keeping the reach. I mean, with an extra point of speed, you're slamming further, you're making power attacks further, or if you're prevented from charging, you're just walking further, and your melee range only dropped by half an inch.
But it also lets you reach past and through gaps in models, which is huge. It's a very big deal. You can, I would actually rather have the reach, I think.
But on the flip side, models can't just run around you and get to stuff behind you while still being in your reach now.
Yep, this is true.
You don't give them as much of a running around room, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, models can charge it away where they can get more models onto Typhon with reach because they're not causing free strikes. They're still walking around, you know,
yep.
while they're quote-unquote engaged by him.
That's true.
I'd like to see him on the table before I, you know, say one way or the other which one I'd prefer. I think I'm just used to seeing the Reach, and so not seeing it makes me want to just say he's not good anymore, but I still think he's just solid.
Hey, I'll just leave it at this. If the Nomad can't reach with that sword, those necks should have reach.
Well, maybe he only
You got a point
down.
A little bit. They're going to give him that lunge rule so he has reach on the charge.
No, there you go.
You know.
Extended neck. That's what they're going to call it.
Go gadget neck. How about go gadget scorn?
What do you think about the... By the way, Jason told me that I have to talk for him and me today, so I don't know. I don't know how that's humanly possible.
That's a tall order. I can't believe he actually placed that onus on you. I mean, wow.
I mean, as it is, I talk a lot.
That's okay, though. I mean, that's acceptable.
My wife laughed in the other room when she heard that.
So, all right.
Yeah, I know he talks a lot.
Round one of the Scorn fight, what do you think we're going to go with? We go with Warlocks?
Yeah, I'd say we just start with the Warlocks, because that's who we're going to have the most information.
So we can have a lock-off, but we can't have a jack-off, because this isn't War Machine. Damn it.
No.
All right, so lock-off. Who's first in the field test?
Master, Tormentor, Morgul?
My favorite Warlock from Mark 1.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. I know he wasn't used as much as a lot of other ones.
Yeah, it's because I was being nice to you guys.
You mean you didn't want to get whooped, is what you're saying?
Wow.
Well, I didn't want you guys to kick me out of St. Louis for kicking you guys with Morgul.
I feel like I've been slapped with a glove.
Dude, next time,
that's a duel.
You're on, sir.
I don't
Especially
think we've ever played.
New feet, holy crap.
Yeah, well, you know.
His new feat is sick.
I like it.
Yeah. No, it's good. I think the addition of Repose was nice.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then Maltreatment is another very flavorful rule for him, making him effectively Fury 6.
I think that is a really big deal for a 5 Fury Warlock. I mean, obviously, it doesn't extend their control radius at all, but that 6th Fury is
huge.
So much marginally better than, say, your 7th Fury.
Right.
Especially when you figure that he can pull it off at any time during his activation, so if he realizes he's going to kill someone, he can always grab it to make 2 more attacks.
Right.
Or on the other hand, he can do it...
He can do it just to have a transfer.
Which,
just to have a transfer after going all out and going, oh crap, I didn't kill it, I need a Fury.
Yeah, and like you guys said, make 2 attacks with that 1 Fury, because he kept Double Strike. And, I mean, all his spells cost 2, so those aren't cheap to cast. That, you know, having the 6th Fury helps him, but if he spends it all on attacking, he's got what? 14 attacks he can make?
Yep.
And that's auto points.
Auto points.
So.
No matter what focus you have.
Any old man, Warlock or Warcaster in War Machine is dead.
Dead.
Mm-hmm. Cause their defense is low enough that with a mat 8, he's gonna hit him still. And if you can soften up a Warlock, are they gonna transfer 1 point away at a time?
Right.
Exactly. I love doing that, by the way. Like, are you gonna transfer? No. Okay. 2 points. Are you going to transfer? No. 1 point. Are you going to transfer?
Yeah, I have annoyed a few people with that early on in pre-evolution. That was pretty fun.
I will say, though, my most enjoyable experience playing against Hordes was my first or second game of Legion. I was playing against the Hordes the Scorn Battle Box. And I had tied up all his beasts well and stuff, and Morgul came in for a charge and didn't quite kill Lilith. So I thought, okay, well, I should be able to finish him off with my Shredders because I had some back that could turn around and hit him. So I'll feet and walk out of melee and transfer it, because I can, right? It's like, wait a minute, why do I need to walk out of melee? So what the hell? Stab with the bow. I brought Morgul down to 1 life with my bow blade on Lilith.
That's just dumb.
And
that's like hitting Kane in melee, though.
If I had killed him, it would have been the most awesome thing ever. But yes, I almost bow bladed Morgul. Which is kind of a weakness, is he only has 13 wounds, or 13 armor and 15 wounds.
Yep.
He has, if you think about it, he almost has Kane stats, except for the fact that his, like, Matt and Rat are reversed.
Yeah, he's kind of a melee Kane. I would say Ryas more so now, but yes.
Oh, yeah. I always had fun with him. I never really took him as, like, the competitive Warlock. I always felt like there were better choices.
Well, Z, how do you run him competitively? I mean, when you run him, do you sit him in the back and, like, abuse your beasts and send him in his missiles?
He doesn't hang out in the back. The way I played Morgul in Mark 1 and in Field Test now is... Well, whenever I put Morgul into my army, my first choice was...
A brute?
The three Titans.
Oh.
He plays much differently than I do.
Oh, that's right. You play the herd.
I play the herd. That's why it hurt me so much when they screwed the Titan.
Oh, God.
I think you, I
think Z's cutting out on us. Wait.
No, but seriously. The Titan Herd really works well with him. Especially in a game with Pain Givers, because then you have speed 11 charging or slamming Titans for free at strength plus 4.
That's pretty sick.
There's not a lot of stuff that can take the kind of punishment.
Not really.
And I don't know whether I like the change to unrelenting to admonition, but it's been working so far. Now, the strategy I used to use with unrelenting was that I would say send Morgulin after an enemy warlock. I mean, I think my favorite matchup with this was against Madrak.
Ugh. Annoying and fun all at the same time.
What I would do is I would charge Madrak and I would tickle him a little bit, save myself with one or two fury, and have unrelenting on myself. And then he would activate and he would punch me in the face with his axe, and if I didn't die from that one hit, I would move behind him and say, okay, now what are you gonna do? So now I don't even have to take the hit anymore. As long as the player does not forfeit his movement, because admonition does require advancing, Morgul says, oh, you ended your movement, I'm gonna walk behind you. And do it before even getting hit the first time.
Mm-hmm. And being avoiding free strikes as he does, he can just do that all day.
Yeah, perfect balance. And admonition does it as well, so it's, you know, double the ignoring free strikes. And finally, Torment got so much better.
Yeah, that's pretty slick.
Like, I used to use it previously, but now it's even better because if you do a point of damage to a warbeast with the spell, it cannot heal or be healed for one round.
Yeah, so sometimes it's worth spending the three or four fury possibly to hit,
Let me ask this, though. Do you think that it is redundant with his feet? I mean, since his feet kind of does that anyway, do you think that it's unnecessary?
I don't think so.
No, I think this is for either after the feat or if you're playing a little conservatively before a turn before the feat.
Wow, right?
This also works
10.
Against warcasters.
This is
so
true.
If you hit a warcaster with it and they have any kind of healing mechanisms, they can't heal themselves no matter how much damage they take. Now, admittedly, it's less likely that a warcaster is actually healing themselves. Morgul, 7 beast points, just pure awesome.
Yeah, that's almost a gladiator or a Rhinodon. That is pretty slick. I like that a lot.
Okay, well, since you guys aren't disagreeing, I can't give anybody a point. So
I didn't think we'd disagree on him.
I think we have
Morgul
to move on.
A lot.
Yep, next guy, Lord Assassin Morgul.
All right, we got Tim's impression. Z, do you like the changes?
Honestly, I played it maybe 3 times in Mark 1 because he was just so over the top that I just left him aside. I preferred the Warbeast aspect of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I did play Epic Morgul, don't get me wrong, a couple of times to try him out. Shadowworkered Immortals was just so much fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
But you can't do that anymore.
Well, shut up.
No.
All right, you know what? Tim, point.
All right.
Oh. Well, Epic Morgul, let's see. He gained Stealth and he gained Vanish, which is fantastic.
I almost like that more than the fan ability to go 4 inches. I thought that was just, when he attacks somebody, he's, as long as it's not like a heavy war beast or something, he's gonna pretty much kill it in one shot.
You know, it doesn't actually say melee attacks, which means he can actually flesh hooks a model and kill it and teleport.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's cool.
So if something says you can't make melee attacks, Saren, he can instead go, okay, I flesh hooks that thing, and I'm going to teleport out of here.
I like it better than the fan trick for one reason. It does make him harder to get to in many cases. It gives him a bigger defensive bonus, and it doesn't give him quite the offensive one, which is, Shadowfall and then charge.
Go.
Right.
Right.
So it takes away some of the stuff that made him a little bit over the top, but gave him back more versatility in a different way.
And it doesn't have to spend fury to do it anymore.
Right.
It just happens.
Exactly. So I think that it's like, well, yeah, it's a nerf, but it's also an improvement. And if you're trying to do anything other than kill the caster, pretty much, it's an improvement.
I think to do the pure assassination, it takes a little more finesse now. Mm-hmm. But I think he became like their premier attrition caster.
Over Makeda's?
I don't
know if you're right about that.
I'm taking
the feat, if you use it to do attrition,
Well, that's not attrition. That's defense. Well, I can see what you're saying.
You can outlast everybody.
When I say attrition, I'm thinking, you know, just kind of...
Maybe staying powerful.
Yeah, I see. Okay, I see what you're saying. It's almost like a protectorate feat
kind
in
of,
some ways.
Yeah,
if you're not using it offensively. But the thing is, it has a very offensive side of it, too. Okay, I see what you're saying. I'm still going to take your point away, though.
Okay.
For saying a phrase that could be taken completely out of context and be completely wrong.
Oh, I like to confuse people.
Okay.
I'm just wondering why Death... I didn't realize Death Warrant cost 3. Was it 3 in Mark 1?
I don't remember.
It was.
I could have sworn it was a 2.
Maybe it was. I don't remember. It was the 5% spell for me. I didn't use it a whole lot.
All I can say is, thank God he does not have an Arc Node.
Yet.
There's an Arc Node with Death Warrant and, you know, stuff like even Savages, an army of Savages, and they're 6 math to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So,
plus 2 damage is pretty nice. Especially on the feat turn, that's effectively +6 to the attack roll.
Oh, yeah.
Map 12. I'll take a map 12. Whatever.
And it might take a while for your stompy elephants to get up there, but if they do, that's going to hurt.
Absolutely.
And you combine that with his feet, Morgul's an effective mat 14.
All right,
but honestly, you would rather spend the fury on the 3 other attacks.
You would.
Usually, yeah.
Yes. But I just want to throw it out there because that's just
But if he can't get
doing.
There himself.
No.
If he can't get there himself,
you're
right.
Yeah, it's always good to have ways to help out if you can. This is my one kind of problem with Rias, and this is getting off topic, but it's, you know, if she can't do it herself, she doesn't have quite the ways to buff her army to help them do it. Morgul does. I think Morgul does, and I think it's a strength for him.
And it doesn't say melee, so your drakes are effectively rat 7, power 16. Your mm-hmm. cannoneers rat 6, power 17. Blast damage, power 10.
I mean,
you can do some crazy shenanigans with that.
So, Morgul's, both of them. What do you guys think? Plus, minus, good, bad?
I'd say plus.
And even.
Plus and even, yeah. I think that's we're right on with that.
This is not nearly as combative.
I really don't think it's going to be about the warlocks. I think it's going to be the beasts and all the other stuff when we get into
it. Mm-hmm. All right, let's deal with Makita. I didn't play her all that much in Mark 1. What about you, Tim?
She was always one of my alternates. Hexorus and Makita were like my two go-tos until Zal came out. Then I really liked Zal early on. Uh-huh. I always kept one of them as an alternate because she's just good. She's all around solid. You know, I really don't have any complaints about her. She almost plays the same.
Blood quenched versus vivisection.
What?
Blood quenched versus vivisection. She used to have the +1/+1 every time she hit.
Yeah.
Versus blood quenched, +1 strength and armor.
I'd almost rather have blood quenched because survivability. If you don't happen to pull it off, your armor's pretty good then.
I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, okay, like you said, vivisection changed to blood quenched. She got sidestep.
That's hot, by the way. I used that.
Oh, yeah.
That was so awesome.
She still has Carnage. She still has Savagery. She got Protection of Minoth. You know, she has the Lash still, which, you know, lowering threshold.
If you stack that with the Beloved Agonizer, I mean, you're definitely saying I'm purposely going to mess with your beast, so you're going to have to deal with the Agonizer.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's a cumulative -4 threshold.
Yeah.
That's almost auto frenzy in many cases.
And she doesn't have anything to help mitigate rough terrain for her army, but at the same time, she still gives them maneuverability and survivability. She's a pretty good enabler.
Savagery, actually, I would say kind of gives you rough terrain mitigation because
in a way,
it allows them to just walk double their speed.
Yeah.
In a way, it does.
She's sick with the new Pathfinder cats we have. Like, they get to walk 16 and then leap for 5 and then make 2 attacks.
With reach.
With reach. Well, one with reach and one with bite.
Well, yeah.
But I used that and it was disgusting. Like, I was across the board on turn 1.
Do you think she's our Cav caster for the most part?
I definitely think so. Between Savagery and Defender's Ward, you know? I mean, use Savagery the first turn, keep one of them close enough for her for second turn, where she can go Defender's Ward and all of a sudden they're defense 15, armor 19.
5 wounds isn't as bad then.
Well,
yeah, and they can still leap around.
I have some questions regarding the Cav, but I'll save them for when we get there.
That's perfectly okay.
Yeah. So
One thing I do want to mention with her.
Yep.
Sorry. I was actually toying out an idea for a stupid army, and I think Tim will get a kick out of this. So the Lash drops command and threshold, and it's an AoE. And then the Agonizer drops threshold. And she's got Carnage so that she can get plus two to all attack rolls, right?
Right.
So you run with a full allotment of Paingiver, like, beast handlers, and you run them as the front line. And you go up there and tickle all their beasts into full fury, bust out the Agonizer, and then hit one of them with the Lash.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
Minus four fury, and it's full of fury. And if it's a beast like something important, like a Dire Troll, it only gets one boosted attack roll. So one of your Paingivers dies. Rinse and repeat for the rest of the game.
And then if your unit happens to survive, oh, I use the feat, and maybe they come back.
Now, exactly. The one good thing about this,
the feat changed. You can't double dip on souls anymore. But I kind of expected that to a certain extent.
But enemy models don't get the souls either.
No, which is good.
The thing that I like is the new frenzy rules. If you frenzy, you lose your fury. So you can't permanently pin an army in that way.
Well, no, sure, but for, sure.
If your pain givers want to keep a beast full, they have to keep attacking that beast if it right. frenzies. They can't just fill it up and move on.
Exactly. Oh, bummer.
Yeah, darn. So I'll take a little bit of consolation. You know what? I'm taking a point away from both you guys.
I'm negative one.
Wait, how does that work?
Just for being dicks with my beasts.
We have to actually hit your defenses, by the way. Like, our Paingivers need 9.
Yeah, they're not the greatest fighters in the world, that's for sure. So, I 5 beast points, I think, that's kind of standard, actually, across the Scorn army. That's a free Savage or a free Brood or something. I give her a thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely thumbs up.
What about her epic form?
Her epic form is a little more interesting.
We're about to change to her feet. Let's start there.
Yeah, the feat isn't just everybody anymore. It's
basically up to 9.
Up to 9 models, basically. Her fury plus 3.
And it also means that if she wants to upkeep spells, she's going to come back with fewer models.
This is true.
Very true.
So,
yeah,
it's a plus and a minus, I guess.
It's interesting. She has Elite Cadre Praetorian Swordsman. They gain Vengeance. Vengeance is pretty sweet. I think, I think it'll be... I think you'll see 2 units with her a lot, just because, multiple units with Vengeance, it still has that, mess with me, I mess with you mentality that the Scorn are pretty good at.
Good for, yeah.
She still has Stay Death, do something like keep something in a control point, or keep a charge lane blocked, or keep a unit in play for whatever reason.
So her spell list, she gained Siege's Foxhole. That is, the 5-inch AoE, ignore cover, do not suffer blast damage. It's essentially almost dig in within the AoE.
It is
AoE.
Dig in, yeah. And the defense bonus. Actually, it is cover.
But also, also with very offensive capabilities, drop something, let a cannoneer shoot at point blank.
Right.
Or shoot what's behind at point blank, I'm sorry. Drop those frontline trolls, pound the Creel Stone.
Oh, yeah. I actually think you're going to, in the Scorn army in particular, I think you're going to see it more as an offensive tool than you will as the defensive tool, because that fits their playstyle. Leash, she had that in her Mark I form. I think that's one of her most important spells. People talk about the Maul of Karn missile where you just, leash them and get them to move real early on a lot and then just throw them into whatever heavy or, enemies. I don't think he's the one to really use it on. I've always found that it's better like on a cannoneer. For that extra movement, that just makes the ranged attack so much more important and so
even
much
if
more
you can
efficient.
Aim. Especially if you can aim.
If you can aim, yeah. Road to War, I've always liked that spell. That was always my first turn spell. She'd activate first, cast it, move up her 8 inches, and then do whatever else she was gonna do. Stranglehold, it's one of the newer spells on Mark II. I think that's going to be more of the I want to prevent you from charging type of spell. Here comes a Carnivian right down my throat. Let's see if I can stop it.
It will be armor 20, though, so it's kind of tough. But it's worth it if you can get it off.
Yeah. I also think that's like, they wanted to give her an offensive spell, and this I don't see it coming into play too much. I think her other spells are a little more important.
Okay.
Right. So Epic Makita, I think she definitely gets a... equal, I guess?
Yeah, I think she stayed about the same, for the most part.
Yeah, about the same.
Okay.
Good old Hex.
One of my favorites.
I know this one's been controversial for Tim.
I've had some good thoughts and bad thoughts about him. 5 War Beast points, real solid again. Matt Seven, because he was a cataphract in his former life, apparently.
Lost a lot of weight, though.
Yes, he did. Got skinnier.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta find out what diet he's on.
Yeah, so you get... Yeah, no kidding, I need to get you the hell out of my house.
Okay, so... Oh.
1 point for Dave.
1 point.
Aha, yes.
In a game where points don't matter. It's like, whose line is it anyway?
Yeah, except more improv on this end.
Exactly. So, his feet changed a bit.
It's only 3 inches into the full movement now.
Right. So it's a little more limited. You ignore free strikes. You ignore lost aspects.
Wasn't that the only change?
I think that was the biggest change to it, was that it's only 3 inches now.
Instead of a full move.
Right. And they do specify now, like, wording changes. The model becomes a solo. It was kind of implied.
If it's a trooper, yeah.
Before, but they never really said that.
Mm-hmm.
So now you know that it is. War beasts are still war beasts. They're not solos or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little more limited, but I think it's still going to be pretty effective. I've had massacres just on the feet turn where Pat, who used to be the host on this show, I lost the game,
uh-huh.
But he was playing as Kane Signar Army. And I literally slaughtered every trooper to the man from the feet. He was so clumped up.
That was funny.
Oh.
And that was Hexorus activating, and then like 2 other models in my army activating before anything else went. I mean, it was pretty sick.
Yeah, you can fight something with a low defense and a decent mat. It's done.
Like against Kador, the spell is just beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's. I still think it's good. It's just, you know, a little more limited.
No, so his feet actually denies fury.
His feet will deny you extra fury.
Or deny your opponent his fury, too, because they can't reave from a model that got removed from play before getting destroyed.
Well, that's an interesting trade-off. I think I'd be willing to take that if you can kill a beast or two.
Especially if they're full on fury and your opponent wanted the fury.
Exactly.
But on the downside, you don't get the fury either.
No. He lost Deathbringers, which was my favorite spell of his.
Really?
Oh, cool. I would use that to... Because in Mark 1, you could get souls from killing your own guys. I'd run a unit of Praetorian Swordsmen, like around a heavy, like a World Warden or a Carnivian, and I'd hit them with Deathbringer, kill every guy of mine, fill up an Ancestral Guardian, and then do, for every guy died, D3 points of damage to the beast.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah, it was abusable pretty easily. I can see why they changed it. Death Knell, I guess, is their version that they tried it to do the same thing. You know, you add the number of models to the pile, so 4 or 5 models, and it goes up to a 15, and then you start.
As a tricks player, I appreciate Death Knell.
I think it's going to be his infantry clearing spell. Death March, that's the big change. Target friendly unit gains vengeance, which I guess is the cleanest fix they could do, because before it was. Affect the one, you know, the unit, and then one model could then, if it
Which is pretty weak, if you ask me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A vengeance is solid. I don't really have any problems with that. Do you have any problems with it?
Vengeance is hot.
I think that, well, fluff-wise...
Put it on the Immortals.
Yeah.
Oh.
Fluff-wise, I don't think it's as good, because he was about pushing the guy who died past death and doing stuff, but... That's a very clunky mechanic, and this is much cleaner.
It falls into that category that they had to clean stuff up for Mark II.
Absolutely.
And this is, you know.
Yep.
What do you say about him?
The suffering stacking with Agonizer, bad.
Yes, definitely. I would say that a lot of the Scorn players are going to say that Hexer's definitely got to get a dump on, but I don't think he lost that much. I mean, yes, Death March went away just like Shadow Shift did. People should get over it.
Yeah, exactly. I would almost call him a wash. I'd say he's an equal.
I think he cleaned up. I would give him a plus, because I think he became cleaner to use. And you know what? He became more fun to use for you and your opponent.
This is true.
And so I'm going to give him a plus. Next up?
Next up, Xerxes. He has become, I think, my favorite new Scorn Warlock, believe it or not.
I cannot help you with this one, because I never played him in Mark 1.
So I didn't play him a whole lot in Mark 1. I think I played him in one event, the Stampede event when it came out.
And the reply was, this is dumb, I'm putting him away.
You know, it's amazing what reach will do for you. That was one of my huge complaints. I'm like, he has these giant clubs and no reach. Are you kidding me?
His feat's awesome, too, because you don't have to charge now. It's just an extra damage die.
on melee rolls, and then you get extra armor. I used it against Ray 2 weeks ago, and I had Satrati who all charged his stuff, and then they're like, oh, look, we're still, we're like armor 18 now without the shield wall.
And
he
Fury.
Couldn't retaliate. And it was pretty sweet.
How about stacking Fury and his feet? How about he feats, charges something, and before he makes an attack, casts Fury on himself?
That makes him sick. P plus S 17 with chain attack smite.
Bleep.
And three, oh my god, four dice on the charge.
Four dice on the charge, and three on the other ones.
Yeah.
And that's without actually having to boost.
Yep.
Power 17, Weapon Master, eat your heart out, Butcher.
Yeah, oh yeah. He still got Martial Discipline, which was his best rule out of all of his other rules that he had in Mark 1. You know, that I played, when I was playing against Ray, I had two units of Satrati, and I had, behind one, I had the unit of Venator, so move up, shoot with them, and then the Satrati would move through them, and then shield wall again.
Yep.
Excellent.
Any disagreement that he got improved?
Let's see, he lost the one spell, what's it called? Merciless Assault, and I can see that going for obvious reasons. I'm kind of sad to see that spell go. I thought that spell was pretty cool.
It was neat, but I think Fury is better. I
can grant that, I guess.
As a Kador player, having played Butcher many a time, Fury is huge.
Fury is even better now that you can cast it after you charge before you attack.
Right. You go, okay, I know I reach. Okay, here we go. And I'm going to cast this, and then I make my attack. I would definitely say he's a plus. Let's move on.
Okay, I'll give you that because I have not played him, so I will not be able to.
I think it would be hard to not be a plus over
his old version.
And everybody I've played with him, I've asked them, I said, was this fun for you to play against? Because I like with him doing the double Satrati units, going through my own stuff. Because one of the things is I want to play a list that people are going to have fun playing against too. I don't want to, especially with field tests, you don't want people to come in and be like, I don't want to play. You're going to play this dick list every dang time or you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Optimus Zol.
Optimus.
Optimus.
How's Optimus?
My biggest disappointment in Mark II. He was my second favorite Warlock. And I actually even, if you guys remember, I took him to Hardcore this year at Gen Con. And I just feel like they kicked him in the teeth and then kept kicking. I know he was a good Warlock. I never expected him to be that good that they had to really show him the rough end of the stick, I guess.
Yeah, I don't... It's funny, he plays very similarly, but some of the ability changes that they made, and some of the spell changes...
And the synergy changes, even.
Exactly. You know, before he was all about, let's take Immortals with him and Ancestral Guardians, and it's like, you don't even want to do that anymore.
It's like, I tried that with him, and I was so disgusted by the end of the game, because I couldn't do jack. Because I didn't look at the spells, I said, hey, I was trying to do what I did with the War Machine, was, let me translate my list, see how it plays. And then... When I started playing, I said, wait, Last Stand is Living Model, so I can't use it with Vengeance, okay? And then Hollow's the same. He gained Hex Blast over the Spirit damage spell he used to have, which I thought was a very Soulburn, I think it was?
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought Soulburn was a very fluffy Zot spell for him. And now he has one offensive spell, which means if you tie him up in melee, he lost with a War Beast, he can't do jack to it. Especially because he lost his ability to kill the spirit of a war beast in a melee attack.
Right.
Like I just think they showed him too many nerfs, I guess, is the word I didn't want to
use. And if you combine some of the changes they made to the Kovas too, it's just like, ugh. You know, I looked at him and I kind of got disappointed. I was like, I almost don't want to take him out on the field test and run with him because I just feel like, what's the point?
Well, I did play about 3 or 4 games with him. It's just every time I did, I ended up being the generic Warlock X that was there to take Fury, heal his War Beast, and upkeep one spell.
Right.
Like Awakened Spirit.
What about some of the newer Scorn stuff, though? I mean, like, would you enjoy Hollow on Bloodrunners?
Actually, that might not be a bad idea.
Well, they don't get knocked down. They have perfect balance, don't if
No. They can get up
that's
for free.
They get up for free. That's what it is.
But that's with Epic Morgul.
Right. Okay.
That they don't have perfect balance otherwise. Otherwise, they'd be immune to free strikes, and they're already pretty good.
Yeah, they don't need to be immune to free strikes.
They don't need to be immune to free strikes without Epic Morgul, I think. But, no, I mean, he lost his two Fury Zot. He lost his And I don't want to make this a look at how he lost all this stuff, but I think they took away a lot of his personal offensive firepower.
What do you think needs the change on him? Out of curiosity.
I think they need to give him a Two Fury Zot back. They need to give him back a Two Fury spell of doing damage to something. Like, he has his eyeball, which is great. He's always had that.
Right.
He lost the direct, you know, the ancestral guidance thing that he had, where units could reroll command checks in his control area. Which was, I always thought, a really neat thing.
I but used then again, that for pretty good effect.
Exactly. It's like, you didn't have to take a Tyrant Commander with him. Or you didn't have to take unit attachments. And the order thing that he had isn't that big of a deal that, you know, if they lost the dude, they can't do that order anymore. I can live without that. I just think that he lost a lot of his characteristical... His fluff rules, really.
The things that defined him are kind of gone.
Exactly.
I'd say so. You know, one thing that I could see making him a little more interesting, he's an extoller, but he doesn't have gunfighter like the extoller Soul Ward.
That's what I was going to say, but he's only rate of fire one. What difference would it make?
Well, a beast comes up and charges him, doesn't kill him. He can then hit him with the eyeball and add the strength to the power of that.
Well, true.
That's a pretty good shot. Attack. That's a boom, I hit you with something.
But then he doesn't have Virtuoso, so he couldn't hit him with the staff either to finish him off or whatever.
Very true.
So it's like any little fix would require more fixing. So I think they need to... Privateer, please look at Zal and figure out a way that if somehow... I don't know, some Speed 7 Warbeast with 3 attacks showed up, I could do something about it.
I know what you're talking about.
Touch you. Instead of getting critically pitched on my free strike.
Exactly. So I think we both agree that he's a minus.
Definitely a minus. And before we finish him, obviously we have the Kovas. The command check thing went away for the Kovas, which is nice. But now he's only 5 wounds.
Which is pretty big. Yeah, he's incorporeal. But there's
half the time,
and there's also magical weapons are, I wouldn't say abundant, but I think every faction's got access to them.
Yeah, so I think, why doesn't he have 8 like other medium bases? Like, okay, don't give him 10, give him 8 at least, you know?
Yeah.
Those 3 hit points, I think, would make a difference.
Oh, yeah,
and this
absolutely.
Way, he gets killed by a gun mage on an average damage roll. Well, okay, on a slightly higher than average damage roll.
Unless...
On 9, a gun mage shoots him and kills him.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mordekaar, the Void Seer.
Oh, dear God.
You disappointed in him?
Very much so.
It's interesting.
Well, I actually wrote an essay in the feedback form for this guy.
Wow.
I was very upset.
I haven't sent any in yet for Mordekaar, but I have some thoughts about him. I mean, there's certain things like Revive versus Spirit of Amber. I kind of saw... I kind of assumed something like that was going to happen, because... It was such a unique spell. Yeah, it was like his character spell, but Revive does very, very similar for what it, you know, you're just not bringing back 8 guys, you know, 7 or 8 guys in one turn. It's
right, absolutely. One. I knew that it was going to change to Revive. Here's the thing, though. With no access to getting extra fury or souls or whatever, I think that he loses out on the ability to actually cast it more than once a turn.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're really stretching yourself thin especially if you're upkeeping,
anything.
You know, death sentence or something.
Right, and I actually, if you count it up, he's got his spell list has 15 fury on their costs. Like I looked at his spell list and I thought about it. In an average game, I'm gonna probably spend a point to heal, hold 1 or 2, especially because he's a lower defense, lower armor, or well, lower defense warlock. He's gonna hit more. He's gonna get hit more. So holding 2 fury is probably safe for him. So that means he's down to 5 for using for spells. I can cast one of my spells.
Pretty much.
Because if you're gonna cast Death Sentence, if it's against something worth casting, you're gonna boost the hit.
Right.
Because if it's a defense 12, your army can probably hit it because we have pretty good melee stats, or even range stats for that matter. So, I don't know. I feel like if Death Sentence became Fortune, if Essence Blast cost 1 less, and Void Gate became Absalonia's, you know, the upkeep void thing, I think we could see a lot more in the same... Like, we'll keep the spells in the same, I guess, format of what they're trying to do with him.
Right.
But just have, like, cheaper versions or upkeepable versions that would make him actually cast multiple spells.
You know, one of his key spells was Essence Blast, and that got changed from a Spray 8 to a Spray 6.
And it became more expensive, didn't it?
it's 3. I could see it being 2 for a spray 6.
Yeah, but the pow is more now, right?
It's been the same.
It's 5 plus the base strength, which has stayed the same.
And the models removed from play.
Yeah, I know sprays are a lot more potent, but I don't know if it needs to be 3 fury for the spell. Because it's reduced in range.
It feels kind of pricey.
It does. So, you know, his weapons stayed the same. I like that he kept Parasitic Curse, because that's
a cool ability.
Yeah, it you know, referring back to Zal a little bit, this is like his, you know, Zal had that ability to take out Spirit, and now it's gone. This was, you know, Mordekaiser's shtick ability. I take your strength, so now I hit you even harder.
Oh, yeah, like you hit Beast and you kill him because you're now Power Plus Strength 18.
Right.
That was pretty fun to do, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Or a Centurion or a Hammersmith. I mean, I've done some really cool stuff like that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's just different. I like it. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to say he's a minus overall.
Why is he 4 beast points? That's what gets me.
That is kind of odd. I'm surprised even 5 would be good, because that's a free, you know. Well, 4 is a free Drake, I guess, or a free
Drake. Yeah, but he needs more protection. I would say he needs at least a Brute, and giving him 4 points, it's like you're expecting a freebie. Like, even Zal, who comes with a solo.
Right.
If you take an Essential Guardian. Yeah. So, you know, why is this guy 4? Was this a typo? Was he meant to be 7?
Maybe I couldn't 9? Imagine him being 7. That's a lot for what he does. I could see him being like 5 or 6, though.
Yeah. One suggestion I saw on the forums, and I thought that was a really good idea, was giving him Gatekeeper, where he could use souls to boost attack and damage rolls and buy extra attacks.
That's interesting. That almost suits Zal, though, better.
Yeah, but
from a fluff standpoint,
Mordekaiser needs something.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
Actually, both of them having it might not be a bad idea. They both work with the spirits of the dead.
This is true.
I mean, they both work in that way. Maybe the both of them getting that ability, especially with the Soul Wards, giving souls to other people in their command range, that would really actually give them a good buff without making them really strong, because it wouldn't add to armor.
It wouldn't add to armor.
Or fury.
No, but it makes them more fury efficient.
It makes them more fury efficient if they get into the fray.
Right.
Which you don't want to see either of them in the fray, really.
No.
They're fragile. They can't afford to get in the fray.
Yeah, oh, and I could almost see that. That's an interesting idea.
There is one thing, though. His feet, while mostly staying the same, did have a minor nerf in it. I don't know if a lot of people caught it.
Well, now it's while it's in his control area.
Right. The enemy models have to be in his control area to take the -1 attack die. I don't think that's too bad.
No, I think it was kind of needed. His old
feet, too good otherwise.
Oh my god, was dumb.
It was ridiculous.
So, I you know, I'm going to say a minus, but I think it's by degrees.
Yeah, absolutely. Minus, but not because of any one big hit.
No.
He went down with the pain of 1,000 cuts.
Exactly, exactly.
So, Privateer, some love for our good old Lantern boy. Our Red Lantern.
He should dispel blind effects. Yep.
So, now that we're starting on the beast, we're going to start with the lights.
Now work away.
Work our way through them. Basilisk Drake.
I was
going to
say down, but
go right ahead. In my opinion, he is the shining star of the Scorn Light War Beasts.
Are you shitting me?
It is a Rat 5
Finally,
POW 14 spray. Huh. Are you kidding me? Magical weapon.
We get to a fight. This
always
is awesome.
A Rat 5 POW 14 spray.
His Animus, is a
bullshit.
Little... bullshit.
His Animus sucks. And unless... Okay, we have 2 Warlocks with ranged weapons. We have Zal and Mordekaiser. And if they're spending 2 Fury to cast this Animus on themselves and then back up after taking the range attack, they're way too close to the enemy.
I think it would be better if it was model unit. Let me throw something out here first. Let me get your guys' opinions, since this is kind of interesting. I'm actually going to do a bad thing and going to make you maybe agree on something.
Uh-oh.
We love the Carnivian, right? If we were Legion players, we'd love the Carnivian.
Absolutely. I love it without being a Legion player.
Okay. What if the Drake had a bigger spray?
It'd have to be 5 or 6 points. I don't know if that's what it needs. I would love it.
I'm just throwing it out there as a suggestion.
I've always been a fan of sprays before Mark II. And now that sprays have gotten even better in Mark II, I just think this guy maybe he's not the shining star, but I think he's the undersung beast. It may be a better way to put it.
Okay.
The Drake has been pretty key and you know, I'll get charged and they won't kill everything. And then I kill with the spray whatever charged me, freeing up my units to go do whatever.
I do think it's a nice counter to getting engaged now that it can walk, like, say, around the edge and spray down a line.
Don't get me wrong. I think his weapon is great.
Right.
I just think the rest of him kind of sucks.
Yeah, he's... You know, he is threshold 9 now. They did give him that boost back. He's only got 19 boxes. That's pretty crap. Defense 13. We're talking the low end of most beasts.
The last game I played, the Bastos Drake got killed in one round by one model. The Kovnik Markov charged him, and between the impact attack and the charge attack, he killed me to a point.
Wow.
Wow. I just think he's going to be seen a lot in the competitive format. Once the dust settles, everything, you know, the finalized stuff comes out and the tournament meta starts to settle, I think he's going to be a key piece in any competitive Scorn army.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I use him in almost every army list. I just wish he was better for his points. I just wish Lurker was something more useful. Like,
if it was model unit, actually pretty decent.
Yeah, if it was model unit, I could see it being a little better. But once again, do we really have stuff that we need Bushwhack for?
No, I don't even see it being useful like on the Cannoneer.
Like, okay, fine. The only thing I can actually probably say is the Archeori, where with Xerxes, you put Martial Discipline, you have Martial Discipline, you Lurker the Archeori, they shoot, they drag stuff, they attack it, and then they back out, and the Citrati walk up into their place. But that's it.
Yeah, and if you, and to do that, that means you left your Archeori in front of your Citrati the round before, which means they're dead.
Well, no, they're not dead. They're just bleeding out of their faces.
They're dead. It's okay to say that, because I would agree with that statement.
It's pretty polarizing. But okay, anyways, the Drake, I think he's a negative.
You think he's a negative?
From his previous incarnation?
Well, give him back his old animus. The animus changing to what it is kind of a negative. I would say a wash. I'm going to say a wash.
I would say give him a rat, and I'm happy.
Ooh, wow.
A rat 6 is huge on a spray.
But I say the negative for the Drake, because he had so much potential, and they just jumped him.
I'm going to go with Z in this. I'm going to go with Z for the fact that, I mean, I love the spray. I think the spray is very good. But a 2-point animus, it's nowhere near as good as impact. I mean, your vendors aren't counting people out.
Oh, no, it's not impact at all.
Overall, I don't think it's going to be as good. So, Tim, Z's getting a point. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
And a Corona.
Okay.
What about the Kriya itself?
The Kriya obviously was a big
4 points, but now only 3 Fury.
Like I said, I didn't use her all that much in Mark 1, maybe like 2 games. Once again, she was the same reason I didn't play Hexorus. It's too much of a crutch piece, and I played a different type of game.
Here's the thing I can say. It can't lock my Fury down anymore. Thank you. I mean, you know what? Everything else, fine. I've never had too much problems with the Kriya. It's a pain in the ass, but it's just something you dealt with. But not being able to use my beasts was a killer. I can use my beasts against it. I'm fine.
Looking at this model in its newest incarnation, I think it's a solid 4-point beast.
Here's what I like about Paralytic Aura.
I always played it as the utility beast. I wasn't super offensive with it until near the end game. And I think now it just has slotted into that utility function.
Here's what I love about the new Animus. Warlocks can cast it.
Yeah.
That means you can even spread it out among more of your army.
The Shaman can cast it too. Yay!
At a cost of 1.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
another model I'm going to be yelling about.
If you're facing against a ranged army, I mean, that might not save yourself against an Epic Kane assassination.
No.
But if you can, say, cut out 10, 20% of your, maybe 30% of your casualties against something like the Legion, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
It does make most of our Warlocks armor 18.
That's nothing to sneeze at, because that's 18 with transfers.
And it puts their defense into the range where to reliably hit them, you have to boost.
Exactly.
Even Mordekaiser becomes a 16 with that.
So, I mean, he's not as offensive as he was before. The Kriya's role changed dramatically, but I think he's a better defensive beast now.
I think she is. You're right.
Yeah, he can't, or she, yes, you're right, can't stop like the charges that she could before.
Actually, she can with her guns. Spiritual paralysis.
Well, right, but I mean, like, she can't have the aura.
So she was offensive in every possible way.
Yeah.
And use of the word
I was
Mark
very
1.
Offended of her in Mark 1, yes. And Mark II, I think, I mean, she's only 4 points.
I think she's great for her cost.
She's, no. You just have to adjust how you're playing her.
You don't think she's great
said
for
no.
her cost?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the problem with her stat line is that they're expecting us to take the Drake along with her. Because honestly, Matt and Rat 4, come on, even the Zerker is not Matt 4 anymore. There's no reason for any Warbeast to be Matt 4 at all, blind or not. She has Isla's Sight. Why is she Matt 4? Why is she Rat 4? What am I on a boost? I can hit a Warp Wolf if it isn't hiding in the woods.
So I was just going to say, if you go with like the whole streamlining concept that they've gone with, I could see it matching the Drake's stat line. I could see that.
Hopefully,
well, no, because apparently VS Privateer Press girls can't hit very well.
I'm not even going there.
Do-do-do.
I think we should leave that one alone. So I say she's a wash, and I think Z's saying that she's a negative.
Negative.
I'm going to say she's a negative. I'm going to say she's negative. She's just so effing good in the first place.
She's still good.
I think
she's good, but she's good for different.
I think she had to be a negative compared to Mark 1.
She was very efficient in Mark 1. I will give you that.
I thought we were just rating them as they is, not as they are. Not against their Mark 1 versions.
Fine. Okay. I still think it's a negative, though.
I'm going to go with even, then.
Okay.
Because I still think she has enough defense. I understand Z's point. I can see it very well.
I get it.
Yep. But I think Z, I'm sorry. Tim gets the point and the Corona.
Yay, Corona.
Cyclops Brute. Wow, that's a nice animus from Orgel.
Yes, it is.
Yes, except Krios still makes it go away.
Well, yeah, but...
he has to do it.
Krios is so effing good against Hordes now, but a completely different topic. You know, look, we've got Shield Guard.
He's just as good as he was before. I think he's a plus.
Yeah.
I'd say he's a plus as well.
Shield Guard is good. Intuition is still hot. His animus is better.
Hey, it's not much, but set defense. Defense 15 against a charge forces you to boost, even if you got an average...
Well, and he's an armor 19,
and
he's got the shield.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's set defense plus to make forced reroll is actually a really nice combo. Mm-hmm. You get charged by a heavy, and they've got to roll probably a 9 or 10 twice.
Oh, yeah.
And he can never lose that shield.
If you arm lock it, I think it goes away.
Right.
Well, there you go.
There's a reason to arm lock a beast now.
But, you know, 5 points, he's solid, just like the Protector.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't have anything else to say about him. He's a nice little... Well, I have one thing to say about him. My biggest problem with beasts like this, the same thing with Protector, is I'd rather spend the points on offense. And maybe that's...
He still has reach. He still hits pretty decently for a light.
Savage? Cyclops Savage.
Money in the bank.
5 points. I can't think of a better costed beast.
Yeah, they should give him Thresher and just call it even, right?
Oh, my God. With boosting after the fact, that would be broken.
No, I think the Savage is a perfect pointed for his ability warp.
I think Matt 6 on a light like this, just like the Axer, is really good because they don't hit hard. You're going to need to boost to hit.
He does it after the fact.
And that's even bigger bonus for him, but that extra Matt on a light puts him at that point where they can save that one Fury they need to boost a later damage roll.
Yep.
Yeah.
I will just say this. I've always wished his animus only cost one.
Yeah, I can
see that. At two, it just feels really expensive.
It's really good for being one.
One thing about the... I totally lost what I was
saying. Savage.
Never mind. All right, Savage is good.
Okay, I'd say he's a positive because he's actually cheaper.
Yes, he's much cheaper. He's about... Well, I don't know. What's the ratio? 1 to 12? 1 to 13?
I don't know.
I don't buy into any of the ratios.
I thought it was like a 10th or something or close to that.
Yeah, he used to be 62, so if you're counting between a 10th and a 12th, he's a little cheaper than he used to be. That's about it.
So I think we both get a point and a Corona for that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm taking it away, though, on the fact that you guys both play Scorn.
Okay, that works.
Okay.
Cyclops Shaman, what the fuck did they do to him? I am so sad.
All that changed was the Spirit Blade, right?
Yep. And he lost his precognitive awareness defensive bonus.
But that went away in general, didn't it?
Yeah, but you got you have other things like models got what's it called? What's that force barrier?
Yeah,
I mean
that's +2 against range and no blast.
Ignores
damage.
Blast. Yeah, it's like this guy practically did the same thing. It was just a different rule. He became +2 defense, so he was defense 15, and you could move before the deviation on a blast attack if it missed you, or hit you, or whatever.
You know, I see both sides of the argument, but for 4 points, I think he's pretty solid.
He's pathetic. Power strength 11.
He's not supposed to be.
But
a
when
fighter.
He does get there, what does he do? Like, he can't even kill an Iron Fang on average.
I think if he had like set defense, he'd be pretty good.
I could see that. Yeah, have something to buff him up a little, or maybe Fury 4, with an ability to use Fury for something like intuition or whatever.
I could see that.
The problem is Spirit Blade took a hit in the junk.
But all the ones that remove upkeeps and stuff took the hit in the junk. That's
not
across
true.
The
I mean,
board.
There's still stuff across, like in War Machine, we still have Unbinding and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why he couldn't have like a command range Purify for 2 or 3 even.
Oh, God.
I'd pay three for a 7-inch Purify on this guy.
That's horrible.
Because isn't it Purify, is it all upkeeps or just enemy?
It's all upkeeps and all animi.
Yeah, friendly and enemy.
Well, there you go. For 3, I think that's pretty worth it. Command range? Well, I guess I could see that being bad because then your Warlocks have it.
Yeah, that's the problem is then you give it to somebody who can get it.
But then again,
face.
Scorn loves their upkeep spells. We have so many. I think if Spirit Blade just went back to being whatever it was able to do before, it would be fine. And I would love the Shaman a little more.
Which would be making an offensive Animus. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Or offense star, so it's not offensive against your guys.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're going with negative?
I'm going with negative. I think he took too many hits.
I was just going to say a wash myself. I'm kind of indifferent about him. I mean, I'd like to see him better, but if he didn't change, I wouldn't be heartbroken over it. Either.
He became my favorite Light Beast when he came out.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I was in love with the idea of the Shaman who could take away stuff like Admonition.
I'm going to go with... wow, this is tough. It's really borderline between wash and negative.
I think
but
it
what
is.
I want to do is make a stipulation. Is I think that there's... This is what, like, the third really defensive beast that the Scorn has. And I think that's a problem. I think they need more offensive lights. Granted, the Savage is awesome. But at this point, it's like if you want an offensive and a defensive beast, it's a Savage and one of these three. As opposed to, you know, there being competition with the average for your offensive light.
Exactly.
Bronze back.
Bronze back with the changes.
Wish I could quit you.
Yeah.
So wait, who won that one, buddy?
I'm just denying points. I'm running out of Corona.
Oh. Okay.
Dave drank them all last night. Bronze.
Well, I'm glad they gave him his strength back.
And that's their only change that they made in the last update.
Yeah. Isn't it great? Now he's almost as good as a Warpwolf.
Yeah. That's silly.
I think he needs just a little something else, and I think it's something that the Gladiator needs as well.
Veteran Leader Titans is what the Bronzeback needs.
See, I was going to go with a different angle.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say Brace for Impact. These guys are like the Slam Masters, so they should be resistant to being... I have had the Bronzeback and the Gladiator taken out effectively out of the game because of Slams more times than anything out of anything else I've ever done to them. Slammed
really?
And screwed him over. Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
And the whole... I like that whole idea that they're like... Somebody slams into him and pretty much just bounces off the brick wall and then gets beat on for
beat
it.
Beat it snotted. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad they gave him a 17-17-16 combo back.
Right.
It just... his leadership of only giving Stampy still feels really, really light.
And it's only 6 inches, so they gotta be pretty close to him anyway. I just...
Like, he... And they completely eliminated Herd Patriarch. So, right now, this is just a Titan with a different color, instead of...
He's more copper than bronze, is what you're saying?
Well, I mean, no, he's not a leader anymore. He's just there. Yeah, they gave him Leadership Titan as an ability, and all he does is teaches them how to break trees.
It's very true.
It's more like Slave Driver Bronzeback Titan, because go cut down trees, is what he's doing.
Right.
Lumberjack Titan. There we go. If he had Bulldoze, even, that would make him a lot better.
Oh, God.
That would be awesome.
Like, look at him. He's one of the biggest things in the in the IK.
Except for the Warpwolves, apparently.
Yeah,
well,
apparently.
Well, even the Warpwolves are, like, you know, big things in small packages. But, like, the Bronzeback is just a little smaller than Mulg and the Behemoth.
I remember when he came out, I think I was told by somebody that he was, like, their heaviest model to date or something like that. I remember hearing that somewhere.
It's like he needs two large base models. Two large bases to fit on.
Yeah, it's funny, as I got him, and I was all excited, I painted him up, played him one game, like, yeah, he's never coming out again. Should have had my Cannoneer.
I love him in Mark 1. In Mark 1, he was the bomb. Like, people see the Bronzeback and go, holy crap, not the Titan Herd. And the Titan Herd would steamroll everything in their path. Because the Cannoneer could move faster because
move
of
six.
Him.
So I use them to do that occasionally. I would
run 10 on turn one is what I would do. And then I'd be in range the rest of the game.
So what's your assessment?
I think he's a negative.
What about you, Z?
Negative.
Okay, I agree. All right, let's do the Pokemon.
Run it up.
I choose you.
Never, ever, ever. I hate this model.
You hate the model or you hate the rules for this
No,
model?
The model.
The model
like
is kind of
something out
goofy.
Of Monster Apocalypse. This is the only Warbeast I don't own.
I donated mine last year to Privateer Weekend prize support. He lost versus his Mark I. He did lose his Gore attack.
Yes.
Crit Pierce, baby. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that it was great before. Like, in Mark I, I can see it being... I didn't actually ever see one on the table, so I really don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I feel like he's a wash overall. He's about the same as he was in Mark I, in my opinion. You know,
he's a Speed 5 Titan wannabe. I just read the card and said, why? He's not an elephant, what the hell?
You know, I like that they were trying to diversify the heavies for the Scorn and give them something that wasn't an elephant, but... There were better options.
Well, for what it's worth, with the higher speed and the higher, well, higher than some of the Titans, Matt, he is a better trampler now. I mean, maybe that's it. I mean, your Titans are your anti-beast beasts, and the Rhinon is a little more of an anti-infantry beast.
Well, yeah, obviously with 360 Thresher, I mean, he's definitely anti-infantry, especially with a Muk. I just think that it's funny that the Rhinodon has the best synergy with the Bronzeback.
That is funny.
You go amok and use your Berserk. Actually, use it. Use it.
He's also only 8 points, though. And again, so is a Gladiator.
I think if he were 7 points, he'd have a niche to fill.
I think that's right.
He'd be their cheap heavy. He doesn't necessarily, you know...
A 7-point, 360 reach Thresher.
But he's only got 2 power 14s and a 15. Like, he dies to heavies.
Yeah, he will, once he kills those infantry... Something else, even heavy infantry can come in and wreck him.
Yeah. I do have a question about him. It says he has a rear attack, which says, when declaring and resolving attacks with his weapon, his front arc extends to 360. Does this mean I can charge with my rear arc with him?
No, because you don't declare the charge until after your movement. I'm sorry, you don't declare the attack portion of the charge until after your movement. The charge target has to be in your front arc.
You still have to have line of sight to the target. It's not circular vision.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
You know, I said he was a wash at first, but now the more I think about it, I think he's still a little bit of a negative. I think he needs a tweak. Whether that's a point decrease, you know, a point decrease, or even if it was, you know, some give him back his Gore attack or something.
I don't see myself buying one
right now, let's put it that way.
All right, Titan Gladiator, Matt 6, finally!
He definitely needed that.
That's all he needed. I think he's perfect.
You think he's perfect?
I love it. I've always loved this Warbeast. This is why I've started Scorn.
See, this was one of the things, like, if he had the Brace for Impact, I think he'd be, like, right where he needs to be or something like that.
I'd say give him a hit point and he's set.
A hit point, make him 28?
Yep. I mean, as much as a Slayer, you know?
The problem is for me, and I guess we'll get to this when we get to the Cannoneer, is if I have to pick a heavy that's not Malakarn, it's always going to be the Cannoneer.
See... I don't necessarily fall into that. I know a lot of Scorn players are like, the Cannoneer is the best. Don't get me wrong. The Cannoneer is a fantastic Warbeast. But me, I got my melee kicks with the Gladiator. The Gladiator will show up, wreck a heavy, and laugh.
Well, and, you know, for me, it's not like his melee. I feel like he's the baseline by which all other Titans are measured.
Who, the Cannoneer or the Gladiator?
The Cannoneer.
See, I don't
And I don't think
like that.
That's necessarily right, but I think that's the general... I think a lot of people do that.
Well... I think the one change they could make to him is, since a lot of the Animi are seeing command range, I think Subdue should become command range.
Oh, God, no.
It's like having Makita, a 5-inch AoE on him.
No charges or special. It's not 5-inch AoE. It's within 5 of him.
Right. No, but I'm saying a 7-inch base off of him, it's larger than that. It's more like a...
No, that's freaking huge. It's like a 16-inch AoE.
Yeah, it's dumb.
We don't need that. Bad.
I don't know. I mean, I don't see myself casting Subdue a whole lot because...
I never
It's
did.
Only 5 inches. I mean... Models that are that close...
They'll walk usually, in and hit me anyway.
Right. Now, admittedly, it stops them from slamming me. It stops them from chain attack throwing me or whatever.
If he's up
it's
in the
situational.
If he's up in the middle of infantry, that the only way they're going to really hurt him is to charge him, I think it's huge.
Right. Now, it's also good against, like, Demo Corps or other types of special attacking type of infantry, like backswings, threshers, things like that get canceled, which is nice. I don't know. I mean, I've used it very situationally.
Yeah. I just think he's... I still think he needs a little something.
I still think he's fine, though. I could live... I am happy with him as is.
I could live with him as is if nothing else were to change. It just means I'm not going to play him.
I'm just going to field two of them. I'll make it up for you.
See, I think this is just... I think a lot of our disagreement is more over play style than it really necessarily is the model.
Yeah,
itself.
I know what Tim's problem is. Tim's problem is it's too slow, and that's why you take the cannoneer, because it has a range attack to shoot when it doesn't get there.
Uh-huh.
See, I just take them all. I take one of each, and I have a nice little Titan party.
You got to catch them all, don't you?
No, because that's, I don't have a Rhinodon just for that. I don't want to catch them all.
I'm going to model some Pokemon Balls for his Titans.
I always told Monkey that he needed to put on his Rhinodon base a Pokeball.
Just paint the base?
Yeah.
No, the front red, black arc of the base.
That would be awesome.
Red and white, and put the little like ball thing or the circle thing on one side of it.
But yeah, Gladiator, plus.
I'm going to say negative because I still don't care for him a whole lot.
I'm going to go even.
Oh, we don't get a point at all.
No, maybe you get points because you're both wrong. God, you guys suck. Cannoneer, plus. Done.
Cannoneer is a plus. That's all
Wait,
I can really
plus?
Say. Yeah.
I think so. I think two melee attacks and a nice fat AoE is pretty solid.
I will say I was surprised not to see the rat go up.
I'm not, because he was already a 4 to begin with.
Right, but once again, with the meta change of going up across the board in the Warjacks, I was expecting this guy to see a rat 5 buff.
Well, I'll put it this way. Whenever I saw that War Beasts were not getting that buff, I was no longer expecting this guy to be a Rat 5.
Right.
I could see that. Now, additionally, his Diminish became minus 2 strength instead of minus 3 strength. What's up with that?
It's less diminished. Diminishing returns or something.
But he was armed 21 against melee attacks.
Bad.
Okay, like, the difference between 21 and 20 coming from a Kator perspective is negligible.
Oh,
hush. Well, no, it's not.
I'm going to go with Z in this and that you're wrong.
Because if something can wreck 20, it can wreck 21.
Maybe.
It's not about wreck. It's about what I used to do is if the cannoneer got tied up, I would pop the Animus and just back out of melee and laugh at the free strikes. And
you
power...
can still do that, though.
Right, but there's a difference. Before, it used to be I'm armor 21, which meant anything power 12 or lower, I could just ignore. Now at armor 20, and this means that power 12 stuff starts doing more damage. Like, the average infantry is between power 10 and 12 in melee, right?
Give or take.
Give or take. Now, admittedly, there's some that are 13s and up.
Right.
But
and there's some that are lower.
Right. So, I'm saying average. I mean, anything 12 and below at armor 21, you could pretty much ignore. So, I don't know. I feel like he took a couple of hits. Well, she dropped that. And didn't see a rat buff when I was expecting one. So I'm going to say negative on the cannoneer.
I'm going to say positive.
I still think it's positive. I think it is a good hybrid heavy.
I
the only thing
think
that it lacks
the
over the Reckoner is reach.
Yeah. I think it's... I think
well,
it's,
point of
and
speed.
Rat,
but,
and rat.
Well,
and
looking at it within its
in the vacuum.
It has pain givers.
Which do so much for its range attack.
I didn't. Well, you know,
I still say a plus. I think it is still the baseline by which all other Titans are going to be measured.
Sure. I mean, it depends on your playstyle. Once again, like I don't play the. I use the cannoneer to get rid of clear stuff in the way of my other Titans is what I use it for.
Even if I'm not saying that he's good if you take him as your beat stick, but I think he's a good beast.
Yeah,
I think
he's
good.
Solid.
I just think he could be better for the cost of 9 points. He costs as much as a destroyer. To put it in perspective. Good old Moloch Karn. Oh, dear God. This
Love
world
him.
Is going to be the end of the world. Wait, have you seen the latest change?
Didn't Fatewalker go down to 2?
Well, it got
Fate
a point
Walker,
of armor.
Yeah, it got bumped down to 2 from 3 in Mark 1.
Yeah, it got a point of armor in the update, and Fate Ward no longer prevents boosting of damage rolls.
Really? What the hell, Privateer?
Haha, screw you. Now your heavy's like everyone else's. Suck it, Trebek.
I still think he's good.
I mean, I'm not saying... Okay, I'm a Titan player. I come from that viewpoint of, I like my Warbeasts are tough, take a lot of hits, and dish out a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Moloch Karn was fun to use, and don't get me wrong, in Mark 1 I thought he was insane. Insanely good. Like with Mordekaiser, you just made people cry.
At War Machine Weekend this year, I had Moloch Karn under Mordekaiser one shot my behemoth.
Here's
25 points of damage in one shot.
Here's one
That's
problem,
dumb.
And I the way it was with preventing boosted damage rolls, the way Mark II works, that means you can't boost on the charge. It means you don't get the extra charge die because it's a boost now.
Right.
But that's not what I want back, though. I think Fate Ward should be more fatey. I mean, I think it should be, like, roll an extra die, drop the highest. Or the controller, the Moloch Karn's controller chooses which die to drop. And in attack and damage rolls. They still get to boost, they still get their shenanigans, but I pick a die to drop. They roll an extra. Like an inverse signs importance on them.
Star-crossed, basically.
Yeah, negative. It's like Starcross, but just for him.
It's interesting, but I not so boosting attack rolls is pretty big
against beasts.
I think it's fine for War Machine with their higher mat, but I think that some beasts are going to have a problem hitting that 13.
I agree.
Even the mat sixes still have to roll a 7, and you know I don't know.
My point is that why should it only work against one classification of model? Is it only Fate Ward versus War Beasts? It's not. It's Fate Ward. It should work against all types of models. How many infantry models out there boost attack rolls?
You know,
under Zal's feet, that's it.
What I could also see it being, since he is the chieftain of like all Cyclops, if he had the reroll ability from the Brute, I can make you reroll your attack roll.
Instead of Fate Ward, just lose Fate Ward altogether and give him intuition?
Uh-huh. That would be cool.
Hmm. Well,
Fate Ward still needs some play.
You're not saying he's a negative, are you?
No, I'm going to say he's a wash.
You're going to say he's a wash? I think he's a positive.
I just don't feel he's 11 points worthy. I mean, compared to Mulg, compared to Typhon at 11 points, I feel like Mulg Karn's a little under the curve. Hell, compared to a Warpwolf, he's under the curve.
Yeah.
You got the same hit points, haha.
Yeah, no kidding.
Same mat, same hit points, hits for weaker.
Coming from the Legion perspective, specifically, I'm going to give him a plus, and I'm going to give him a plus because of his speed, plus things like, you know, Enrage, you know, Pangear, stuff like that. He is a very quick striker, and especially if you have anything that can help with your infantry so infantry can't get to him, then Fate Ward actually does become pretty decent against whatever beasts they try to use to counterattack, especially if he can pounce and cut down your opponent's heavy if they only brought one or something like that. Then you put him in a really bad spot. I don't know if he, obviously he's not great in every situation, but so few models are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in that use, I don't play score enough to know exactly how good you think your infantry clearing is. You know, your support of that sort of use of him.
We've got some decent tricks.
So, yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't think he's made to go with the Z Titan Herd.
No. Yeah, obviously. No.
So
I think he's a slightly different play style than like the Titan Herd would be.
He should be your only heavy if you take him.
Oh,
he
wow.
usually is.
We're finally right. through the beasts.
We're finally this through the
good
beasts.
God.
This is coming from the guy who likes to spend 20 points on heavy weapons. So, I mean, I feel like if I take Moloch Karn, he should be my only heavy.
Yeah, well, and you know what?
Because he's going to be blowing all his fury every turn.
Or give you some credit.
And Cyclopses.
I was going to say, I give you credit for playing the all Titan Herd because you don't see it very often. And when played right, it's pretty effective.
I would like to see something. Z, you're coming to Daikon, right?
I should be.
Z, Titans, Tim, Cyclopses, go.
That'd be interesting.
Interesting. What, any restrictions on the, anything?
Tim can have Kriya, you can't.
Okay, that works.
No, I've got... I don't know.
What point size? 100. Let's do it.
Ooh, oh my god.
Wow.
Oh lord.
No, let's
that stomp. Is a lot of stompy elephants.
Well, I only have 4. I'd have to borrow like 10.
Tim won't be using his.
I only have 3.
That is true. How about 50 points, Mangled Metal, Cyclopses versus Titans?
Do I have enough?
And you get to take Paingivers.
And I get to take Paingivers?
Both of us get to take Paingivers. Obviously.
I got let me see how many points I can do first, because I'd rather not have
because
to borrow.
Because you'd be borrowing my Cyclopses.
Oh, well, that's true. That's
you guys
true.
Email, get
we'll
together,
figure
see
it
if you
out.
Do this.
I kind of like this idea.
This would be funny.
Yeah, screw the lizards. It's all about the Cyclopses and the Titans.
Love my lizards.
Well, the lizards are a wash. We're just, yeah.
They're neither here nor there.
We're neutralizing the equation.
Okay, there we go. All right.
Wow, so next up. We're finally through Beast. That took forever. All right.
Why don't we do... Okay, yeah.
Well, before we go on to the War Beasts, would you guys think it's fair to say Scorn is the hot-button topic of Hordes because they got changed a lot?
I would think so.
So it feels like we're going to go along. So what I think we're going to do here is call the episode.
What?
Now hold on, because we're going to keep recording, and I'm going to put out a second half of it.
Oh.
Later on, with the rest of the stuff, because I don't want to drop a 2.5 hour episode.
Yeah, that is pretty long.
So okay. we're going to put what we've talked about so far in the first one.
That sounds cool.
That works for me.
And just in case there's a change between the recording of this one and the next one, Privateer was totally listening to us.
Absolutely, yeah.
Unless it was bad.
Oh, yeah, that definitely.
Then they weren't listening at all.
Yeah. So, okay, bye. See you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2009 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided courtesy of Joshua Salter.